Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Hare, Husker Local Alternative News, Solid State Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Start of another work week.
Well, for people actually have to work again.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that doesn't qualify me. I got my boot on, my sexy, fashionable boot. They said, you want a boot or you want a cast? I'm like, let's go with the boot.
Yeah, that seems like probably the less pain in the ass option of the two.
It finally came in. And I put it on today to come over here. And I walk around. I feel like Frankenstein's monster, like, fire bad.
I said, you walked over here, too.
felt great. But the thing is, my foot had been feeling better. And that's when my doctor is like, really? Because you got a stress fracture from the MRI. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you done effed up, apparently.
Yeah, well, you would think that the x-ray would have found that, but no. That's funny. If somebody bought a TV from my workplace and it didn't work, they could bring it back in and I'd pay for it. They gave me an x-ray. They didn't see nothing, and I'm still going to pay for it.
That seems kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know if Adam's mentioned that he's got a laundry list of grievances against the medical industry.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are gonna. I want to do something right with the world. I want to make a difference. No, you want to wear a smock, marry a doctor. That's pretty much what 3/4 of the people. If you weren't working in billing or hospitality in a hospital, you'd be running a register somewhere.
How do you really feel though? God,
I know a lot of people in the medical field, and there's people out there who really put the time in. They work. Went
to college. I say you're related to one or two of them.
Yeah, I went to college, got their degree. Really have seen some things, and then there's some people who are just like, yeah, well, didn't even finish high school. I guess I'll just go work at the hospital. I heard they're hiring. Like, yeah, great.
Right. I didn't realize that was a thing. Like, I was under the impression that you still need an actual, you know, medical degree of some sort to do this.
Well, I mean, to be a nurse, nurse's assistant, radiologist, doctor, of course, allegedly. But, I mean, like when Flint Hospital, which shall not be named, you know, get people in the cafeteria who customer service is not their forte. Then you got the people who are running the visitor center. You can't walk past there. You got to check in. But when you're standing there, they're going to wait, make you wait until they're done with their conversation to check you in.
Well, of course.
It's that kind of stuff. You know, we're the hospital. We're medical professionals. And you need to respect us. And, well, you know, I know we're not customers per se. We are patients. We're not livestock. Can we at least agree on that?
As a general rule, I think I've come across in life, the more often that you are the only option for something, or basically where people are only coming through to you because they have to, the more it seems like customer service goes out the window. And two pretty good examples of that. A, I mean, obviously the hospital thing, but also you've been to the Secretary of State.
Oh, yeah.
And they will just get incredibly bitchy with you for, you know, the slightest of grievances, really. Yeah. Like, the customer service doesn't exist there because they know, well, where else are you going to go?
Yeah.
But also, I noticed this on my way through the great state of Ohio dial tone over the weekend.
Yeah.
The service plazas off of the turnpike, customer service does not exist. Like, you might stand out there for literally like 5 minutes before someone acknowledges you. Oh, I'm sorry, we're closed. Like, okay, cool. We'll go over to the next one. There's literally two people having a conversation there at the one restaurant in the damn thing that is for sure open 24/7. And they're just sitting there having a conversation with each other. Look over at me and then walk away. Like, really? Really?
Yep. And you touched on it with the Secretary of State, the one in our town. Here is just horrible. I mean, big signs. Make sure you hang up your phone conversations before approaching the desk. Fair enough. Fair request.
Fair.
But then they're in their conversations. What I don't like about this one, and it must be just the other ones, because the one over in Davison, everybody loves. Everybody has a great time. The Lapeer one, they have all these chairs. You make an appointment, then they still give you a number, and you have to stand in line. You can't sit down and wait for them to call a number or anything. You got to stand in line. So the whole purpose of having a reservation was so you didn't have to stand in line, but yet you still have to stand in line because it's more convenient for the people behind the desk. That's asinine.
Yeah, but that's apparently how it works. And God forbid you show up that 30 seconds late to your appointment or whatever. Yep. Like, you're not there. Doesn't matter. If they come out early and they're ready for you and you're not there, like, you're going to get just reamed out. And like,
Oh, yeah. Same thing in hospitals. You're 15 minutes late, they're going to cancel you. But if you're on time, you could be waiting 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Like, look, I am not, I will admit, and anyone who's ever met me knows this, I am probably the worst person in the world at actually being prompt for anything or, well, close to it.
Right.
Like, and I managed to get there within about a literal minute of my, what was my scheduled appointment time. And she just threw the biggest fit in his ass. She was like, you know, made sure like to write on my papers, he was late. Like she expecting her coworkers to exact their revenge on me for her slight inconvenience. Like, that seems wholly unnecessary.
Yes.
And like, you know, this wasn't our decision to go to this strictly appointment only thing. Like,
right.
I was fine with, like, it got kind of annoying sometimes. You get a long wait, but like, you're still sometimes getting a long wait and not great, you know, customer service.
Yes. It hasn't improved things on our end.
Not at all.
It just makes things easier for them. And that's the big part of it right there. It's more convenient for them. And I think they really think that inconveniencing us is part of their job.
Well,
it's frustrating.
I'm pretty sure it is, to be honest with you.
Hi, welcome to the Secretary of State. Good luck in your new career. Lesson one. Pissing off the customers. Oh, did I say customers? I meant livestock.
You know, see, that's, I wish in my jobs over the years, I had anyone who like just let their employees just run as rampant, would let me as an employee to run as rampant over people as, you know, the Secretary of State does. Like, I wish I was granted that ability to just like completely inconvenience everybody I come in contact with.
Right. That'd be nice. But, you know, then you wouldn't have any customers or a job.
Yeah, there's that. Someday. That's my new goal, I think.
Right.
Plenty of stuff to do today. Stick around. It is happy hour to your local alternative, Solid State Radio. The Cure, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
So how was the USFL?
It was comical in so many ways that it didn't intend to be.
Michigan Panthers took on whom?
The Pittsburgh Maulers, the quote-unquote home team at, well, one of the two home teams at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio. Like, I like that at least now four of the teams actually play in their home, like, state, city, whatever. Like, the Panthers play their home games out of Ford Field now. The Memphis team plays in Memphis. Birmingham's teams played in Birmingham from the get. And there's a fourth one that I'm forgetting. But
so Heinz Field just doesn't want anything to do with the Maulers?
Well, for whatever reason, the USFL was still set on this like hub thing for multiple teams. I think it would be honestly smart to have them just play at Heinz Field. I mean, you're probably still only going to get like the handful of people they did here. Like that's the first thing I'll set this up with is that imagine how many people would be at a normal like, say, a Tigers game in the middle of summer when the team is, like, 20 games out of contention.
Oh, right.
And that's still about four times as many people that are at a USFL game. If there were 1,000 people in the stands, I'd be amazed.
Really?
Like, if you looked at, you know, and kudos to Fox, by the way, because these games are broadcast on Fox as well.
They said just CGI'd people into the stands.
Like, they managed to stage it so you can't tell how no people there are in the damn thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, mid-game, even. Like, we were, like, in well into the game, and you see all those empty seats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, like, nobody at this thing. Like, I think even 1,000 may have been a conservative over... You know, may have been overestimated.
That picture you showed me was about 300 people, and that's counting players.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like players' families and things who show up, and friends of theirs, and that's a lot of the like right before kickoff, and we're down like by front row,
wow.
And there's just nobody. There's like a whole 10 people in this damn picture, and we had literal front row. We were directly behind the home team's bench,
really?
The quote unquote home team, because you know. Nothing says Pittsburgh like a team playing out of Canton. That was their home stadium.
Okay, big question, though. Are their colors black and gold, too?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course they are. You know as well as I do, Pittsburgh can't do anything it's not black and yellow.
Oh, yeah, they don't even call it gold. Black and yellow.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny that just the level of attendance for this thing was comical. Like, there were, like, so many empty seats in the front row of a professional football game. And that's amazing to me. I never thought I'd see that. Like, even the Lions at their worst, there were still people, you know, packing those stands pretty reliably.
Yeah.
Not here. The next comical thing is they had the mascot, you know, because, you know, it's a Pittsburgh Mauler, so some big, you know, cartoon muscle-bound something or other. And they have him, like, smash this, supposed to smash something that's, like, you know, representative of the opposing team. But it's just, like, plasterboard placed on top of an easel. And takes a giant, like, sledgehammer to this. Like, oh, yeah, that's so tough. He smashed through plasterboard, you know, poster board. Apparently, there was one week where it literally blew right off the stand before he even touched it. Like, it was just, like, the attempts to fire up the audience were so ungodly comical.
Yeah.
Like, you had the hype guy going around in between, like, talking, like, you know, God, sounded like some ungodly cross between Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, trying to get people all excited about this.
I'm Pittsburgh Maulers!
And I'm pretty sure he was the only person in the building who was excited to be there. They even did, you know how sometimes your professional teams will do the, like, the players up on the Jumbotron tell you to get loud, make some noise, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
The most noise they actually had to make some noise, and basically the response they got was a polite golf clap. Not even kidding you.
Oh, well, you know what? In about 50 years, you could be able to tell people, like, I was in the first season of the USFL.
Second season.
By that time, you'll be going through senility. You'll be like, I was the first season.
Please, I'm going through senility now, dude.
Senility. I think it was 1980. It was a magical time.
Yeah, it was just everything about us. Then even the players, where they just seem like, make some noise, please. Anybody, yeah. Someone, please clap.
Yep.
Like, like even the videos on the Jumbotron, they sound like they were just like begging anybody, someone, anybody, please react to any of this. We're begging you. Come on. Yeah. Clap.
Someone tells me they didn't do the kiss cam or the dance cam or anything like that.
They did some sort of stupid cam like that. It wasn't a kiss cam, but they were doing some sort of like, oh, it was a flex cam because, you know, it's a Pittsburgh Maulers, you know, we're big. Oh, and then they're showing a bunch of like little kids and stuff flexing and what have you, because that's all they had. By the time halftime came around, I was, well, for one, burnt to hell, as you can still tell today.
Like, I didn't look at you that
close. This is not like just high blood pressure. This is just I baked. I baked at about 350 degrees at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium on Saturday afternoon for a good 90 minutes. At the halftime, me and our friend that we were down with, they were like, should we just go back to the... There's a brewery like directly adjacent to, like, on the Hall of Fame complex.
Yep.
I mean, you got the stadium, the actual Hall of Fame. There was like some like the velodrome, like golf like thing. And then there's a brewery directly next door that's got actually some pretty decent beer and a rooftop view of the game. We didn't even bother with that. Like, we're just going to sit at the bar and watch the game on TV. This is... It didn't help that the level of play was comically inept.
Oh, yeah.
Because these two teams had a combined 5 wins between them so far in the USFL season. And we're 9 games into said season.
Oh my. Okay.
So we got like the possible worst of all teams. Yeah, the Panthers are not good, as it turns out.
Oh, okay. Who won the game?
It was Pittsburgh, but I don't know how much of a win you really would call it. Like, Michigan could not buy a score the entire time we were actually watching the game. They lucked into one touchdown drive right in the beginning of the second half, and then that would be all the offense they would put up for the day. Their QB, Josh Love, I guess his name is, would end up throwing for 4 interceptions.
Oh, wow.
Got sacked 5 times. And couple of the interceptions that we watched from down at field level.
Yeah.
There wasn't a Panthers player anywhere near. Like, it was like he was just throwing directly to the opposing team.
Oh,
like, what is this, the Washington Generals of the USFL? Like, that's what it felt like. And Pittsburgh was only really, like, their defense did a good chunk of the work for them. Like, their first play, they marched, like, what was it? Like, 80 yards downfield in three plays. Like, okay, this is going to be a really good game. And then that was as much offense as we'd see for the rest of this thing. Like, wow, that way to set me up for disappointment.
Way to go, a-holes.
So that was one of the more interesting experiences I've had at a sporting event. Like, I would say go just once to just marvel at how laughable the whole thing is. And I don't know if it's the same way at Ford Field. I don't know. If you out there have been to the Ford Field Michigan Panthers games, let me know, like, is it any, like, are there any actual more people there? Do people actually get into it? Is it as ridiculous as this is just because of the location and, like, all of the circumstances of it? Like, when you guys get to see it locally, is it, I'm kind of curious now. Like, is my experience representative of a typical, if any such thing exists, USFL football game? I'd kind of like to know.
How are the ticket prices?
Well, they had season tickets. It was like $75 for the entire season, and that's a good like 10, 15 games or so, whatever it is. Like, because there's two home teams that play out of there, and it's like the face value of tickets there is $10 to get in.
Gotcha, okay.
And you're getting a significant deal on that if you buy the season tickets, until you get to the playoffs, which are apparently ungodly expensive, because they figured out that that's when people like pretend to pay attention and care.
All right.
Like last year, they damn near sold it out at $25. They decided this year to jack it up to $70. So I'm sure it's going to be dead as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I'm glad to say I've been, that I've done it. Would I go back? Would I do it again? Maybe if I had literally nothing else to do on a Saturday or Sunday.
If the Michigan Panthers puts a better product on the field and the league shows some entertainment value.
Yeah.
For you, the sports fan, not the flex cam.
Yeah, no. Like, there wasn't, no one was getting particularly entertained by the quality of product on the field nor anything that they were doing around it.
Right.
So, that's honestly, like I said, glad I did it. I'm not entirely inclined to do it again, and I don't know how long I really see this thing lasting. I mean, I guess it's filler programming when there's no other sports on this summer, but.
Yeah.
How long can that really sustain a league just on that?
How long until we find out that they're not paying the players?
Well, I believe Fox is actually like a part owner of the league. So I feel like they're making sure that people are absolutely getting paid.
Good. Well, that's good.
I would, at least that I would guess that'd be the case. Let's hit a break here. It is Happy Hour at Salty Radio. Fallout Boy, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Campbell, along with you on a Monday.
Did they just like get back together, or there was a breakup? Something was going on with Fallout Boy.
The guitarist left the band for like a minute, but apparently is back with them now.
That's good. I've always seen that happen, like with bands I liked, like in the 80s. Like they would all break up, or a member would leave, and next thing you know, they get back together. It's like, oh, okay, I've tried to go solo, and everybody's just like, aren't you the guitar player from Fallout? Well, yeah, all right. I guess I'm back in this.
His, it doesn't sound like it was anything like that. It sounds like it was just more like he was just burned out on it or something.
That could be.
Which, I mean, happens too. Like,
oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt they broke up.
No.
Because Gwen Stefani was doing her solo stuff, sure.
No, that's not what I...
But they, I mean, I know that's not what you meant. But if No Doubt got back together, that would be pretty badass.
Sure.
There's a lot of bands I'd love to see get back together.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, I would love to see Skid Row get back together with the original, with Sebastian Bach.
You know that's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen. And even though they would make some bank. They would make some
they
cash.
Would. Like, they'd go from just playing, you know, club shows real quick to, they go real quick from playing club shows to at least being third bill on a stadium show or something again.
Oh, easily. So easily.
Like, but it sounds like they have no desire to work with him. And it, like, for as much as good as he is, like, it does sound like Sebastian Bach's also a little bit of a head case.
I've met him a couple times. Always a good meeting with him.
Yeah.
but I'm the customer, I'm the fan. You know, he's cool with us. To work with him, I've heard is he makes things abnormally difficult.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing I've heard.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's funny to a lot of people, like because you know, naturally everyone's always asking the other members of Skid Row, like, what would it ever take to do a reunion? And you'll see so many people in the comments, oh, they don't need him. Like, the guy they have now is so much better. Sebastian Bach probably can't even sing at this point, which, I don't know, may even be true. I'm not entirely sure.
Sebastian Bach, I've seen him recently. I mean, within the last 10 years. So that, if you count that as recently. His vocals,
recent enough.
Well, I mean, I've heard him also on YouTube and stuff like that. But his vocals aren't exactly the way it was when he was 19, 20 years old when he recorded that first album. But he's still pretty damn good. And Skid Row, to put a notch on Sebastian Bach's side, Skid Row seems to go through a lot of singers. I mean, a lot of singers. They keep firing them or they quit. I think...
Yeah, they've gone through... Yeah, Sebastian Bach.
Johnny Salinger.
For like the entirety of the 90s and... I guess a little later in the 90s.
They fired him, and I think that had to have been to do with drugs and alcohol because he eventually would succumb to that. He's gone now. And then they had this TD Threat or something like that.
He's probably better known for having been the singer from Dragon Force.
Right.
I didn't realize that they brought him. Shows you how much I know that not only was he not in Dragon Force anymore, but that he was singing for Skid Row.
He was for a hot minute. They got rid of him. And now they got this Eric Greenwald or Grumbold or Grumbletonian, like, or something like that.
Grumbletonian. Like, here's the thing about that, though. Because, like, everyone, you know, all the fanboys, like, oh my god, their new stuff is so good with their Eric Grunwald or whoever, the Dragon Force guy, any of it. Like, here's the problem. Literally nobody, except for like a handful of people ever, cares about anything that band has done since Sebastian Bach left it. Like,
no, not even close. That's not true, because that third album they put out with Sebastian, Subhuman Race, was subpar at best, and everybody stopped caring about him because the grunge movement started coming in. But
right,
those first two albums were juggernauts. They were awesome, especially Slave to the Grind.
Oh yeah, great album. Like, I'm not even gonna like sit here and dog on it, as you know, not the biggest hair metal guy, but like,
yeah.
But no one has cared about basically anything they've done since then.
True.
So like,
yeah, Sebastian Bach put out a solo album, which was pretty much, or two solo albums, which were pretty much Skid Row albums, and it was kind of mediocre.
Right. Like, just face, like, it's your time, your moment is coming past. Like, if you're gonna try and actually make money doing this, it's like, you know, a lot of the classic bands that still try and put out records, no one wants to hear a Journey record that Steve Perry's not involved in.
This is true.
Like, good on you guys. And I think Foreigner tried to, you know, the same thing with new singers putting out records. Like, oh, I'm so proud of this material. Like, no one cares about this material. Like,
the
nobody.
The singer is hard to replace. I mean, we could probably count on one hand how many bands were able to change the singer and be successful. And there probably hasn't been one since the 90s, or in the 90s.
AC/DC, Van Halen. You can make an argument for STP.
Except for, I don't know the cat from STP. It's not like, you know, I could name him.
Well, Jeff Gutt's the current dude, and they seem to be still having some measure of success with him. I mean, obviously, a little bit different circumstances.
Sure.
Is obviously, you're not getting Scott Weiland back.
No, he's gone.
But, I mean, they replaced the singer three times, and, like, it didn't exactly, you know, flop by any means. Like, they did the album with Chester Bennington.
Yep.
They went out and did their side thing with Richard Patrick from Filter, which was pretty decent, all things considered. Like, it's not like they haven't had success without, like, they're, like you said, they're one of the outliers. Like, typically you replace the singer, like, it doesn't traditionally bode too well for your
project. There's going to be that it's not the original guy. Like, Warrant, they replaced Janie Lane, who passed away, with Robert Mason, who, he's not trying to be Janie Lane Part 2, but he's his own guy. He's a great singer, great frontman, but of course, they were swallowed up with the whole hair metal bad kind of thing.
Yeah, Mason era Warren, who really cares about anything they put out with him?
I like a couple of the tunes that I've heard, but it's not like I went out and bought them, if that makes sense.
And it's not like they got like radio airplay doing it.
No.
Like, I have found a list of bands that have successfully changed lead singers, and Obviously, it's a lot of classic rock bands you would expect.
It all fits on one screen, right?
Right. Deep Purple. You know, I always forget David Coverdale sang for Deep Purple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis managed to do it at least twice. They tried it a third, or well, they replaced one and then tried to do it a second time, and it failed miserably.
I don't remember. I remember
they replaced Phil Collins for an album.
Did they really?
Yeah, oh, wow. A cat by the name of Ray Wilson, and it went about as well as Van Halen 3.
Ooh.
Maybe even less so.
Don't say anything you can't take back. And I love Gary Cherone. I think he is great with Extreme. But I mean, yeah, that Van Halen 3, I think was mismanaged, I guess. Anyway.
Right. Black Sabbath. That's the obvious one. Because they replaced him with Ozzy with Ryan James Dio. And like for as much as it got derided at the time because it wasn't Ozzy, Heaven and Hell era albums really honestly were better than a lot of people gave them credit for.
You really can't put, I mean, if you brought somebody who's just learning about music and you put in one of the Ozzy album, era album, and a Ronnie James Dio album, they wouldn't be able to tell you it's the same band. Because it's just like the band changed. Just like with Van Halen, when they became Van Hagar, that sound changed.
It did. At least with Van Halen, with 1984, you at least got the early, like, okay, you can recognizably tell listening to 1984 and then to anything that came after, okay, that's the same band. It's honestly, it's almost harder, like, you play something from 1984 and, you know, anything pre that.
Yeah, because
there was a transitory period, I guess.
I just, when you went from 84 to 5150, it was very synth-oriented, very 80s. They really took that time to adjust their sound. Good album, but it's just different.
It is, but like you said, Eddie definitely had done that. Like, Sabbath certainly sounded a bit, I mean, honestly, it's the same other three guys in the band, and the sound didn't change like that much, other than the fact that you now had a singer who had some real range.
Yeah, and who could play guitar, so that helped them out live.
And then they changed singers like 20 times after that. Like, I think Ozzy came back. Then they brought in Ian Gillan from Deep Purple.
I was still on the whole Van Halen. Going from Ozzy Osbourne to Ronnie James Dio, that had to like really help your songwriting. You could do more.
Exactly. But then like they brought in Glenn Hughes, Ian Gillan, a bunch of other, like there are a bunch of albums that were basically just it's a Tony Iommi solo project that that the record label's insisting we slap the Black Sabbath name on.
Yeah.
The Moody Blues. I completely forgot that there was different
singer too there. I know a couple Moody Blues songs. I've seen them in concert, but I couldn't tell you one member of that band.
Honestly, same, except for the one dude who ended up being part of McCartney's Project Wings, Pink Floyd. And that's a pretty obvious one, because Syd Barrett was there, then he lost his effing mind, and that they brought in David Gilmour, and after that, Roger Waters just took over the whole damn thing, and apparently still, they say he's out there still being an inconceivable prick to this day.
Never change, Gilmour, never change.
No, that's Roger Waters.
Roger, yeah.
So I mean that's a pretty big one. One I always forget about, actually, is one that they didn't mention on this list. I don't believe Fleetwood Mac. Like, you know, how many lead singers there were before Stevie Nicks actually came about, and like different guitar players. Like, it was just the only thing that stayed from like their first album to like Rumours is like literally the rhythm section.
Yeah, but I mean, that is an interesting thing because the band, I mean, nobody really knows much, at least from a spectator, the Fairweather fan spectator base. They don't know too much of that pre-Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks
right at
Fleetwood Mac.
They probably think, oh, well, was actually an original by the Rockets.
Yeah, probably.
At least around here they do. Like, wait, that's not the same band. You're effing with me.
Yeah. I mean, you buy a greatest hits album from Fleetwood Mac,
you're not getting anything from like pre-Rumours, really.
Exactly. But I mean, so that's a way you can really succeed as a band if you change the singer, if you just really pick the good singer, Stevie Nicks, and change your sound to fit that singer. Don't try, we want you to sound exactly like Sebastian Bach, and go. That's just a rough order.
Yeah, that's more asking for trouble. A lot more classic rock in here. Let's see. There's Iron Maiden, who I forgot that there was a singer before Bruce Dickinson.
Oh, yeah.
And no one cared about the singer who replaced Dickinson for a while. Oh, on that gosh. Scene, oh, Judas Priest.
Ripper Owens, yeah.
And that one, like, I don't know, it wasn't as commercially successful as anything, but, I mean, they did get a movie out of the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had a couple songs that still probably make it into the set list every so often from his era. Like
now, Anthrax, they changed singers to John Bush for a while there, and I liked that sound that they came out with John Bush. I think I prefer that Anthrax more than the...
I'm not going to say I prefer it, but it definitely like it is every bit as good.
I think it updated the sound. I think it really seamlessly transitioned to like that 90s grunge metal.
That's entirely fair. Yeah. Now, this is, I don't know if this one counts, like it's on the list, because technically three of the guys did just find a new lead singer, Rage Against the Machine into Audioslave.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what a lead singer. I mean...
Like, you couldn't have replaced him with a better lead singer than Chris Cornell. Like, if you're going to have Zach De La Rocha leave your band, and it, I will say, that first album, like, it's a banger start to finish. Like, there's no filler on it. By the time the second album came out, a little bit, like, it started to get kind of fewer and further between.
Right.
The third album maybe has one or two good songs on it.
Right.
Like, it's so much, like, you probably forgot that there was a third album. I know I did. But, man, it was, while it lasted, it was, like, that first record, just all killer, no filler. Like, it's really a bummer that we never got the full-on reunion with them to see if maybe, like, they would have had a late career, like, you know, kick in the ass like Soundgarden's last record.
Yeah.
Like they managed to come back with new stuff that was pretty damn good, and they were working on more of it when Chris Cornell died.
Yep.
It's a damn shame we didn't get to see that whole thing through. Okay, Dropkick Murphys. I completely forgot that they had a different lead singer before the two guys were in now. Sublime. Oh, God, there's one for you.
Well, Sublime, I don't think I've heard anything before. Brad was his name?
No, after Brad, there wasn't anybody before Brad Noel, but they've done it again. They started up again with this Rome Kid singing lead. And
I have not heard any of that.
We played a few things from him from time to time.
Yeah.
The downside to me is that they've started, like, now they can't go anywhere without the Dirty Heads tagging along, and I'm not really a fan. I'm not going to lie to you. Alice in Chains, there's a one, yeah, that, and it actually kind of worked.
I have heard some of the Alice in Chains stuff they've done post Lane Staley, and
Wayne Duvall does a pretty solid job.
Yeah, it was Alice in Chains. You could tell. I mean, Jerry Cantrell in there certainly helps.
Like, and that's the thing you notice really quick is that, I mean, they already had another singer in place. Now, obviously, the new guy sounds more like Cantrell than he does like Lane.
Oh, wow. That's kind of
weird.
I think. Have two Cantrells in the band? Yikes.
Like, it's weird. Like, Cantrell kind of, like, became the lead singer, basically, and, you know, Duvall, it seems like, does more backup stuff, whereas it was kind of the other way around before. Like, it's weird, but, you know, it works.
Yep.
It somehow, like, it feels like it shouldn't have, like, you shouldn't have been able to replace Lane Staley ever, but...
He puts himself well. Yeah, he was a very... It would have been like trying to replace Eddie Vedder in Pearl Jam. But they found a way. They kind of had to. They didn't have a choice unless they were just going to go ahead and give up Alice in Chains. Which, you know, I've never been...
Which they did for a long time.
Oh, yeah, they did. But I've never been a fan. Oh, they just need to stop because so-and-so is not in the band. No, you're not going to tell somebody what they can and cannot do.
That's fair, but like sometimes it feels like you really should... like. If not necessarily stop playing, like not saying just retired from music forever, but it just feels weird at times to still call it that by that name as if it's the same band when it just isn't. Like,
right.
Alice in Chains pulled it off because it still ultimately sounds like Alice in Chains.
Well, I mean, Cantrell's still in the band, so that helps out.
Like, Rage did it right. Like, they got a completely a singer like completely opposite from what they were and changed the name and. Really, probably for the better for all parties involved, because you can't imagine them trying to pass off that as Rage Against the Machine. Could you? Could you even fathom
No, they did the right thing.
And like my buddy Wes, actually, who does the garage here at Solid State Radio, like he'd gone to see them.
Rage?
Audioslave.
Audioslave, okay.
And like, for, like he would actually just get off the stage. They'd do like a couple instrumental Rage tunes. Like he wouldn't like, because no one wants to. No one wants to hear Chris Cornell try and be Zach De La Roca, and they know that.
It's two different styles. He respects that, and I think we all respect him for respecting it.
And they did, I believe, do a couple Soundgarden songs with the full band, which you know kind of stands to reason.
Sure.
Speaking of, here's Audioslave, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Always bringing you the best new rock first at Solid State Radio. That's the new one from Blur. They're first in like approximately forever. That's The Narcissist. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody? Another work week starting, or at least, you know, for the people who don't work. It's a lot of people in the restaurant industry, they get Mondays off. So, hey, if you're the service industry, thank you for spending your day off with us.
Right. I am not one of those. Like, I work all the Mondays. I don't work, like, the crazy weekends because, you know, I have just more fun things to do on the weekends and more lucrative things a lot of the time. Yeah. You know, when the band's out.
Yeah, exactly.
So a little different for me than most, but it works out.
Good deal. So you've heard, like, of senior pranks. In fact,
we just talked about a senior prank. Well, was it last week or week before at LaPierre's High School that got everyone all freaked out and in a tizzy?
Yeah, water balloon fight that got seniors suspended. Not just seniors, but a lot of people suspended. And a lot of people, of course, it was like half the people were like, oh, that was uncalled for. It was excessive punishment, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of people like, listen, with the way things are right now, you can't have, you know, any kind of panic like that going on. But
that seems a bit much, though. Like,
I don't know,
like,
all the facts, though, yeah.
Like, there's a literal, like, a superintendent or a principal or somebody who literally compared it to the Oxford shooting. Like, are you insane? Like, have these people lost their minds entirely?
Right. So, and yes.
Yes, they have. Yeah, you're right.
They have lost their minds. Well, this group of students over in Maryland, they had a little bit of a prank that wasn't, I mean, it's bigger than water balloons, but not, a little bit more on the funny side.
Okay.
Maryland students prank school by listing it on Zillow as half nice, half working jail. A group of high school seniors in Fort Meade, Maryland had fun pranking their high school last week. This came out a couple weeks ago. By attempting to sell it on Zillow, the students at Meade High School listed their school on the real estate website for a mere $42,069. Why they came up with that number, I have no idea. The listing, which was eventually removed, advertised a complimentary trash-scented air freshener and water issues. Students also referred to the school as a nice half-working jail and said all 15 bathrooms come with sewage issues, as well as dangerous unfinished sections that could cost you your life.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I this is more of a protest than anything. The listing also promised that your neighbors are rodents and insects that will make you squeal. Although the listing was a little insulting, the Anne Arundel County Public School spokesperson Bob Mosier admits he found it funny. He says, this is incredibly creative advertising, but we are stunned that the listers so vastly underestimated the value of this prime real estate with amazing amenities. So, see, that's how you handle a prank.
Right. That seems far more appropriate of response than just, here, we're going to freak out and suspend literal everybody in the school.
Yeah, they said no one was hurt, no property was damaged, and everyone got a great laugh. I always wonder what it'd be like to, like, live in a school. Jeez. But yeah, I've heard of, like, seniors, I want to say it was in Chicago. It was a Chicago high school. And they hired a mariachi band to follow around the principal all day long. So the principal's going
That's pretty fantastic.
Did you guys ever have any pranks?
We didn't do anything like super crazy. I mean, yeah, there was always still, you know, the usual, the water, not the water balloons necessarily, that there's always the shaving cream fights and
whatnot. Oh, yeah.
And someone like found a bunch of like old, like the rubber super balls, you know, except like the larger size ones that were like
for dodgeball kind of things.
Like the tiny, like they were probably about, you know, like bigger than a normal, like, I'm not talking like the little like tiny little dinky things. Like, these are about...
Bigger than a baseball, or...?
About the same size, maybe a little smaller.
Okay.
And someone just, like, released a bunch, like, a whole box worth of these things down the hallway that morning at school.
See, now that's funny.
That somewhere, funny. I think I still actually have one.
There was a... Right before the East-West game, East was always... Well, West was always pranking us. They always seemed to get the better of us.
Yeah, we were
on the field and in... But they released a skunk or put skunk oil in the school. And I was like, oh, this is pretty funny. And then we got the day off and they had to go to school. So I was like, ha, thanks, sucker.
I see. I guess that one kind of backfired.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You got it. Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, you West East preppies, you guys suck. It's like, hey, we bought your drug, so shut up.
I mean, you're not wrong.
No.
You're not wrong.
The thing is, I mean, and for those of you listening who have no idea what we're talking about, Lapeer used to have two school systems. We had the Lapeer East Eagles, Lapeer West Panthers, and there was a rivalry that was very much like State and Michigan.
Oh, absolutely.
And the thing is, as I got past the whole school spirit thing and actually met some people from West, I actually got along better with the people from West. Most of my, I don't think I really have any friends in my circle that it's from East. They're all from West.
Yeah, all of mine are still, like, the ones I actually still keep in contact with, by and large, are West folk.
I will say that the girls from West were a lot easier. So thank you. Thank you for lowering the bar, Lapeer West.
No problem. It's what we're here for.
I know there's probably a couple of women I dated. I was like, hey. And there's like at least one or two for me. So I was like, I gave it up. What's your problem?
Are we going to have to like apologize to the entire Lapeer East and West class of 92?
94. 94. Yeah, 90, 94. Yeah, that's what I was. 93, 94. That was my dating pool. 93, 94, and 2004. Screw it. Who wants a ride home from school? I'm kidding, folks.
No, he's not. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Eve 6 at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Sir Loin. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Okay. Give the backstory.
Yeah, you set up the backstory.
We were talking about our
high school escapades and whatnot. Yeah.
And you said that you graduated in 2008 and you got along more with people from 1998.
I probably have more friends in the class of 98 than I do in the class of 08. I mean, you're like one of them's right next door to us.
Yeah.
At present,
you're more an old soul. I joked that you were like the person in class going, "Hey, guys, everybody, calm down. The teacher's trying to teach."
Which I was not that. If anything, I was I was more of a smart ass anyway. But also, I was asleep more than anything.
Yeah, and then I made the joke that Sean actually during the weekdays at nights he was sleeping during the day because at nights when the sun went down and the moon came up he was Sir Loin, male exotic dancer.
No, I can guarantee you ain't nobody paying to see that then or now.
I was trying to think of a cool, sexy name for a radio DJ, and I just can't. I guess there's just not a sexy name that goes with radio DJ.
There's a reason that, you know, I went into an industry where people don't have to see me on the regular for me to do what I do, which is probably for is definitely for the best.
Yeah, right.
So I have something I feel like might be of some interest to you, sir.
Sure.
Apparently, we've talked about how AI is just taking over everything, like ever. Like,
this is. I mean, I joke about being scared about stuff. This is something that's legitimately scaring me because, I mean, identities could be like stolen so easily. Ice Cube has come out and says, if anybody does an AI of me rapping or something like that, I will kill them. I mean, and he didn't mince words. He will F them up, and it's getting to the point where it's like, are artists, people who are creating content, going to be replaced by a computer?
You kind of wonder how much job security we have. And already, radio's not an industry where job security really exists to begin with.
Oh, no, there was never job security. But I mean,
but like even more so now that we could just replace you with a robot, and very well might.
Simpsons yet again
predicted that.
Yeah, Yeah, the DJ Autotron 3000 or something like that. So anyway,
but those clowns in Congress are they're yeah, such no, clowns.
Those clowns in Congress, they're at it again. One guy, the second banana on the show is like, how does he keep up with the material? Anyway,
but apparently those aren't the only jobs that are potentially getting replaced by AI. Hundreds of people attended a church service Friday in Germany, generated almost entirely by artificial intelligence, with a sermon presented by AI chatbot ChatGPT.
Oh my God! Is nothing sacred?
Clearly not. Obviously, the chatbot, which presented as a black man with a beard above the altar of St. Paul's Church in Bavaria, told the packed congregation...
way to be promotive, all-inclusive.
Right, told the packed congregation not to fear death, according to the AP. The service, which was attended by more than 300 people, lasted 40 minutes and featured prayers and music in addition to the sermon. ChatGPT was used to create the event. University of Vienna theologian and philosopher says, quote, I conceived this service, but actually I rather accompanied it because I would say about 98% comes from the machine.
Wow.
That's insane.
Okay. Maybe this is just a knee-jerk reaction from me, and it definitely doesn't fit well with my usual let's not make everything illegal because we don't understand it, but maybe this is something that should be kind of done with, made illegal, because they're finding people are using ChatGPT in schools, in colleges.
Sure.
And basically just fraud is right there. Fraud is all throughout.
So right. You wanted Skynet, kids? Because this is how you get Skynet.
How soon until they start creating their own people and running things and then us carbon-based organisms are,
extinct?
Yeah. Next thing we're having, carbon-based organisms' lives matter.
you kind of wonder, man. Like, it does... I don't like where it's going, and y'all make fun of me all the time for like my weird thing about like technology, and not that I don't embrace technology, but I don't need the technology to talk back to me. I don't need to have a conversation with it. I don't need it becoming self-aware.
See, that we do use Alexa all the time.
For
timers, for cooking and stuff like that. But
and I refuse to use Alexa for that reason. But I will not. Ever bring one of them into my home, or I will shoot it.
I don't even own a gun. But
I don't, but it doesn't matter.
Alexa doesn't create something. It's not creating things. This is getting scary because a lot of times, for instance, South Park, they always seem to be ahead of the curve. They had a whole episode about ChatGPT. And it's like, wow, that's pretty crazy. And then at the end of the credit says, this entire episode was written by ChatGPT. I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, they have like, and then with like some AI things, this is not just bagging on ChatGPT, we're bagging on all of it. But there was one AI where people like post a thing, Jesus, Last Supper, selfie. And sure as hell, there's Jesus taking a selfie with his apostles.
I mean, in theory,
for Judas, he's running for the door.
I mean, in theory, someone could do that and have that idea to do that now, like, anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, something like that. And also, I don't know if I necessarily buy that the South Park thing was actually written completely with ChatGPT. Like, because ChatGPT certainly still has its limitations from what I've read. Like, where it will attempt to just generate facts that are not at all in any way, shape, or form remotely true.
Well, I mean, we've seen that for quite a while now where they would have AI write an episode of Batman, and it was just completely off the rails.
I have that book. Those aren't actually written by AI. The I forced a bot to watch 1,000 hours. Like, those aren't a real thing.
No?
No, that's a dude. I have the book actually at the house here.
Oh.
And I'll bring that out for you later. Like, no, that's not necessarily a real thing. Like that's the other thing. Like, whether it's ChatGPT or otherwise, you can't necessarily believe everything you read on the internet.
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping that AI isn't as advanced as we thought. And somebody's got to put the brakes on this.
No, absolutely. Because like, you think it's hard to tell the difference between reality and not now. wait until the robots actually do get good enough to generate this stuff and have it sound actually plausible and believable.
Yeah. Come on, John Connor, help us out.
Here's Lovejoy at Solid State Radio. Weezer at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
And we were talking about, off the air, Sean and I were talking about conversations, very private conversations that my wife and I were having that I'm bringing up on the air. We're talking about whether, you know, she's going to have, you know, tubes tied, or I'm going to go in for a vasectomy.
Look, we've already talked about worse stuff about you two on this show. There are already things that I'm not able to unhear now.
I know.
I did not need to know you were into that.
And so Dorothy, you know, being the giver that she is, she's like, well, maybe I should go ahead and have my tubes tied. I've got some kids. You have one. What if something happens to me, or what if something happens to us? She's just being a realist. She says, you know, you may want kids later on. And I'm like, I'm thinking I'm 48 years old right now, going to be 49 here in a couple months. No.
You've had the one kid that you want to have ever.
I and he's adorable. I'm done. That's it. I've spread my seed and fini.
Yeah, no, that was a one and done thing. You're telling me you don't want to do the whole, what is it, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro thing, where they're like in their 80s having kids that they know they're not going to see graduate from high school?
They're not going to see them. Some of them may not see you graduate from kindergarten.
Right?
I mean, I saw that. It's like, Robert De Niro gave birth to a kid. I'm like, and I instantly went into Robert De Niro mode. It's like, what are you doing? You're trying to make me a fool over here? I know that was a crappy Robert De Niro.
I mean, God bless you for being able to do it. But
yeah, I know, but
why?
You don't have to prove it. You know,
just because you can do something does not necessarily mean you should.
And then I come to find out, I was like, so, he's going to be, that kid can play with Al Pacino's kids. Like, Al Pacino is birthing children? Well, I mean, what is the problem? Hey, maybe our kids can say, hang out together. What, Joe Pesci? Is he shooting blanks? Come on, Joe.
What are you doing over here?
I mean, my God, I feel terrible given conceiving Joey at 48 years old, because it's just like,
right? Because the cirrhosis of the liver is going to take you by the time he graduates from junior high.
I've done actually very well backing off from the whiskey and stuff like that.
One other glass of whiskey?
Don't look at that. I mean, you know, throughout the week and trying to take care of myself. I mean, I will get back to some sort of workout once I get this boot off. But yes, I mean, yeah, I mean, I got to think about things. But but I got to think about the fact that kids who are born to older parents, they just grow up weird. Like, weird. More weird than, like, homeschooled kids.
Yeah.
It's like, so somebody who was like born to like 40-year-old parents, they call their mom mother. They have a stamp collection. It's just, you got to be responsible about this. Don't be like me.
That's really the moral of the story here. Don't be like Adam.
I would not trade Joey for the world. Joey was in studio on Saturday.
Well, good for him. Got to train him for a life of this. This is what you're in for if you don't stay in school. You're going to end up being a radio DJ.
Oh, he loved it. He was smiling at Drew and everything else because the kid just smiles. I mean, he's just...
You brought children in the studio for Drew's birthday?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
No. We left the studio unlocked, and Dorothy came in before she went shopping, and she brought Joey and my stepson, Harley, who just had to have one of those gumballs that is in the hallway of the Lyric Mall that's 3-4 years old.
I say, those things haven't been changed in probably that long.
And he's still chewing it.
Yeah, we still have kids who come by every so often for them.
Yeah, and they're all still chewing it right now. This thing sucks.
They're still chewing on them to this day.
Jawbreakers, exactly. Their molars are gone.
No, those weren't jawbreakers. Well, they weren't when we put them in there.
So, but yeah, I mean, I've always said, yeah, I'm a little on the older side, but I'm very immature for my age, and so I got to start
You got to start acting immature?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm already doing that. I need to start living a little healthier so I can... Because, yeah, I don't want to be like... I don't want to be with a colostomy bag as a kid like walks across the stage and gets a diploma. Good job, son. Daddy's proud of you.
You do know that's two different things, right?
Yeah, I know. Colostomy bag and then the...
Yeah. The tracheotomy. Yeah.
I'm just saying that probably my body will just like break down. But my dad lived to be 74, so I mean there is
hope.
Well, there was also 20, 30 years where my mom had the her thumb on him where he wasn't drinking or anything like that. So there is that, but I can do it. I can do it. Got to do it. Got to do it now.
I guess so. See, I have nothing to worry about in that sort. I could kick tomorrow and, you know, Rachel's probably, if anything, better off. Like, she's probably already got some multi-million dollar insurance policy taken on.
Yeah, she probably had you say, Sean, I need you to sign it. Oh, sign it. All right, there we go. All right, back to football. And she now has like a $2 million insurance policy out on you. And she's just like, one of these days, son of a bitch.
It's going to happen.
One of these days.
Well, that point, I kicked the bucket. She's got the house paid off. Yeah, life is good.
She's
she doesn't have
yacht.
To clean up after me anymore.
She's on a very large boat called Sean Dead. The USS Sean Dead. Oh, yes. Yes. Arsenic. It's a wonderful little drug. And Sean's just like, man, this tastes like almonds.
Finally, all this expensive whiskey is all mine.
Yeah,
because that's the only thing she's really getting from me at this point, other than rid of.
Right. He's like, unless Adam comes to drink it, got to take him off first.
That is true. You're
oh,
not.
No, it's, oh, oh, just look on the backyard. Dorothy's digging a hole. He's good. She looks at Dorothy. Dorothy looks at her. They give themselves a slow nod.
I figure there's a reason those two have been watching so much Investigation Discovery lately.
Why is that? Oh, my God. I'm getting scared.
I don't know. Like, Mama did the same thing.
Women love... Yeah, right. Women love that true crime stuff, but then my wife watches it with a notebook. Is that a problem?
That might be a little bit of an issue. Like, Rachel listens to the true crime podcast a lot, and and she'll give me a certain look, like when they're getting ready to like kill, like just remember, this could be you. I'm taking notes.
Just if she's listening to it with headphones, if she ever just mumbles, amateurs. When is this your first day? Right. Just be scared.
Oh, I am. Don't you worry. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio.
Jack Daniels!
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Monday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we'd like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya!